Matthew. A Holy Field Podcast.
Hello. Welcome to another edition of the Holy Field Podcast. I'm Matthew Thomas. Riding solo today. No Mick Rouse. I am joined by virtual Mick Rouse.
I am Mick Rouse. How's it going this week, bud?
That's virtual Mick Rouse right there. So I guess my buddy Mick will be here in spirit. Yeah, you know, he has a job, a real grown-up big job, as many of you know who follow his work, twitter.com/Mick Rouse. And yeah, sometimes duty calls. But, you know, the show must go on. I'm here riding solo. For those of you who are joining me, listening in, it is Thursday. It is the 22nd. And maybe you're, you know, out playing Pokemon Go, decided to take a break, wanted to hear me talk some wrestling. And, you know, there was a lot of wrestling going on. We had a big Money in the Bank event last Sunday, a controversial Money in the Bank. We could talk about that a little bit. First of all, I want to say I was in the mall earlier. For those of you who don't know, red alert, Bullet Club shirts are at Hot Topic, $25. I didn't pick one up, but, you know, if you're in the area, maybe you're going to go do a Pokemon raid and you just happen to be there at your mall already, you know, support the Bullet Club. That money's going right in their pocket. Interesting, though, to see, because it was originally reported that it was just the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega deal, but I think, you know, most stores are getting Cody Rhodes' American Nightmare shirt, too. It'd be cool to even see, like, something like the Villain Club shirt pop up eventually. That would be pretty cool. But yeah, hey, Bullet Club becoming even more, you know, reaching than ever, getting out of just, you know, prowrestlingtees.com. Cheap plug there. Go buy their shirts. Yeah, Money in the Bank was Sunday. You know, I'll be interested to see Mick's take on this. I'll ask him about it next week. And it'll be a good time to rehash the conversation next week, too, because we don't have a women's Money in the Bank holder right now. We don't have a Miss Money in the Bank right now. We won't until next Tuesday. As many of you are aware, it's not a spoiler anymore. Carmella did leave Sunday with the briefcase. The controversial finish of James Ellsworth, a man, climbing up, winning it, grabbing the briefcase, and dropping it down to Carmella. A very nice catch, by the way. That was just a photo finish looking catch there. Picture perfect. Yeah, I mean, look, let's dive. When we were talking about Money in the Bank, let's dive right into that match just at the outset. It was the first match of the night, not counting the pre-show. You know, the event kicked right off, I think, with Charlotte's music. So it was like, event starts, we're good to go, let's go, let's make history. First ever Women's Money in the Bank match. And, you know, it was a good match for the most part. There were some big spots. It was reasonably safe. You know, we kind of envisioned Charlotte, you know, moonsaulting off of the ladder. And, you know, we had that thought, too, when her and Sasha were going to be in Hell in a Cell. And we always envisioned something big's going to happen, and a lot of times it's not. You know, credit to Charlotte for, you know, even having this reputation now that we think she's going to do something crazy like that. But her front flip corkscrew, which was off the turnbuckle to the outside, that was a thing of beauty. You know, it wasn't off of a ladder, but that's probably the next best thing. I hadn't seen her pull a front flip one out of her arsenal before. So that was a cool moment in the match. But yeah, it culminated in Becky Lynch climbing up the ladder and, you know, just fingertips on the briefcase. And James Ellsworth interferes. And, you know, we wondered on the last podcast if something like this was going to happen. James Ellsworth playing a role. I kind of was hoping James Ellsworth was just there for maybe a fly off the ladder through some table spot, you know. If I'm James Ellsworth, if they want me to do that, I'm doing whatever I can to stick with the company, because James Ellsworth is living the dream right now. But no, they went super heel on it. Not just James Ellsworth cheating to get Carmella the victory, but James Ellsworth actually being the one to take off the briefcase and drop it down. It opened a door to a ton of critiques on social media. If you have a Twitter account or you have an Instagram account, you probably saw the critiques. The first ever women's Money in the Bank match, and the winner needs a man to win it for her. RIP Women's Revolution. That might slightly be an exaggeration right there. The fact that we even had a Women's Money in the Bank match last Sunday is pretty cool in and of itself. I don't think it's a sign that the Women's Revolution is dead. I just think it was a poorly booked ending. You could have really done it in numerous ways. If you wanted James Ellsworth to cheat for Carmella to win, James Ellsworth could have just, maybe got Carmella on his shoulders and helped her up. I don't know, numerous ways James Ellsworth could have screwed the other women over to get Carmella that victory. I will say this, if you're gonna play that angle of putting that ultra heel heat on those two, which it worked. If you watch Carmella's promo at the beginning of SmackDown this past Tuesday, there was heat on them, definitely worked. But if you're gonna play that angle of James Ellsworth interfering, whether or not he actually is the one to grab the briefcase, you're gonna catch some backlash. He could have just knocked Becky Lynch off the ladder and Carmella could have went up there and got the briefcase. But people out there are still gonna say, oh, you had to have a man help the woman win. The woman couldn't do it on herself. And I get that. It's interesting, it reminds me of the movie Wonder Woman. So I love that movie. I think it is, as a superhero movie, it just hits the nail on the head in terms of, displaying what it truly means to be a hero and accurately portraying its subject piece, Wonder Woman. And in many ways, it is quite the feminist achievement. But even still, I personally know women who, told me, yeah, I think it's a great step in terms of, breaking down these walls and having a feminist icon movie. And I'm not going to spoil anything in the movie, but there's still a scene where Steve Trevor, Chris Pine's character, has to do something, takes an action, I'm not going to spoil anything, that, let's say, brings out something in Wonder Woman, helps her in a way. And I guess the complaint was, yeah, Wonder Woman couldn't do that on her own. She still sort of needed a man there. Why couldn't it be the other way around? Even if, up to this point, Steve Trevor's character has just basically been a male Lois Lane. So I guess my point is, no matter how you go about playing the angle of James Ellsworth cheats to give Carmella the briefcase, which was obviously the plan from the get-go, you're going to catch a backlash there. It wouldn't have mattered if, James Ellsworth was just pushing people off the ladder or if he was actually grabbing the briefcase himself. Now, with all that said, undoubtedly, James Ellsworth at the top of the ladder grabbing the briefcase is an image nobody wanted to see. It's just a bad image. And I wonder, if the decision to have Daniel Bryan immediately tweeting that he's going to make a decision regarding that finish on SmackDown, and to have SmackDown go on to have the general manager return to announce that next Tuesday we're going to redo the Money in the Bank women's match. have a rematch, stripping Carmella of the briefcase and redoing it. I wonder if it's just a retcon, you know, hit the reset button, let's just find a different way to have Carmella win. I think that's, if Carmella wins, James Ellsworth is banned from ringside, by the way. That was on Talking Smack. If Carmella wins Tuesday, then, you know, this just screams WWE panicking because they didn't like the feedback it got on social media and quickly trying to hit the undo button. Even though we can never get that image of James Ellsworth with the briefcase out of our head. Now, that all being said, if somebody else wins it, let's say a Becky Lynch. If Becky Lynch wins it on Tuesday, then you got at least have to wonder if maybe this was some sort of plan all along. That they wanted the controversy on Sunday and that they were going to hit the reset button regardless. It makes you wonder. We don't know. I guess we'll see. Like I said, it'll be a prime time to have Mick Rouse back on the podcast next week because we'll be able to talk about how it all played out together from what we knew from last Sunday's Money in the Bank up until, you know, next Tuesday's redo of the Money in the Bank match. So we'll see. It'll be interesting. You know, I would have liked some intrigue added to next Tuesday. You know, I mean, it was originally teased that there would be a sixth person in the match. You know, there were rumors about Asuka. There were rumors about Maria Kanellis entering the match. You know, I would have liked to see Daniel Bryan announce that it's going to be a redo and then swoop in with, I'm adding X to the match. You know, just to make it a little different. You know, that would have been cool. But lo and behold, same five women, just minus James Ellsworth. Speaking of Maria, we got Maria Kanellis and Mike Kanellis on Sunday. They're back. They are out. They have an awesome 80s power ballad theme song, which is on the official WWE YouTube page if you want to go listen to the theme song. You know, some people are a little disappointed that they changed Mike Bennett's name to Mike Kanellis. Though it did lead to one of my favorite moments of the night, cutting back to the commentators and JBL with just an indescribable look on his face, said, he took her name. And just, I remember just laughing for about a good 15 seconds, having to rewind it, watching it again. He took her name. I think we were all sort of having that reaction when it was Mike Kanellis instead of Mike Bennett. Though, I mean, hey, these two were rumored to be coming back, and I like the addition. I think they're both going to be a very shrewd addition to SmackDown. And I mean that in Maria, even if she stays in a managerial role, which may or may not be the case, we don't know yet, but even if she does, having her there just in and of itself is a big boost to SmackDown, because she's great on the mic, and she looks like she could take this gimmick and run with it. And also, you're not getting Lana in the managerial role anymore. If we're gonna, you know, if we're going to shoehorn Lana into the women's wrestling division, then she sort of takes her place as the dominant female manager. But Mike Bennett, a.k.a. Mike Kanellis, he was going to be a great addition to that mid-card. You know, if you're going to move up guys like Baron Corbin up to the top tier, if you're going to keep putting Dolph Ziggler in matches with main eventers, Mike can definitely... As a heel, he can definitely work his own in the ring, and I think he's gonna be a great addition to that roster, that SmackDown Live roster. An interesting thing, a lot of word going on when you look at Raw and how Raw played out with The Miz and Maryse, seeming like they're kind of splitting them apart, at least for in ring or on air time. You know, Miz now teaming with Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel. which to me just has, you know, just screams that era of Edge rolling with Ryder and Hawkins. Kind of has that potential to it. But, I mean, there's a lot of speculation that they did that angle with The Miz just because they don't want Miz and Maryse to be the basically Raw's version of Mike and Maria Kanellis. They wanted one power couple in the company, and that's fine. Though I will be the first to say I wish they could have tried to make it work a little more with Miz and Maryse, because I was getting a kick out of that. You know, Miz was rolling for me. I'm a Miz guy right now. So we had Mike and Maria make their quote-unquote debut at Money in the Bank. You know, I look over this card and the results. Lana and Naomi for the SmackDown Women's Championship. We talked about this last week. That just shouldn't have happened. And there was no cash-in. It was for some cheap tease cash-in. The thing is, it's just going to expose Lana as not being ready to work a women's match. And, you know, to be honest, when the first maybe couple minutes of the match, you know, it was like, okay, this is probably going better than expected. It's not a train wreck. But it just kind of went downhill from there. And it was, you know, a little bit of waste of my time. Really, it was. But let's just get right to the men's Money in the Bank match. That was a fantastic match. As, you know, we sort of predicted last week, they weren't going to end the pay-per-view on Mahal Orton, which also sort of played out as we expected. But instead, they ended on Money in the Bank, men's match, to just sort of, you know, leave a good taste in our mouth. And that's exactly what happened. Up to this point, you have yourself a rather disappointing pay-per-view. The first couple matches had either false or cheap finishes to it. First match being James Ellsworth dropping the briefcase down to Carmella. Second one being the Usos walking out on New Day, even though that was a great match. And then even down the line, Mahal Orton, that finish was just a spitting image finish of the one we got at Backlash. Just like the exact same thing. But so up to that point, though, yeah, you have a rather disappointing pay-per-view. One that probably, you know, is worse than what we got from Extreme Rules, the unextreme rules, from the Raw brand. But here comes the saving grace. It's the men's Money in the Bank match. And I thought it was great. Took Nakamura out early, created a narrative there. And, you know, it was a big moment. It got the crowd going when Nakamura's music hit and he came out. We got the Nakamura AJ Styles stare down. That was great. And that right there was just the back and forth those two. God, they bleed chemistry with each other. It's just, I can't wait for that inevitable feud between them. It's gonna be so good. I think Kevin Owens had a good showing. Pretty much everybody had a good showing. Everybody did. It was your cookie cutter Money in the Bank blueprint, sure. You know, you had a back and forth between this guy, back and forth between that guy. And then once one guy is sort of thrown out the ring, he goes kind of back to the end of the queue. And the next guy comes in, and they go back and forth, and they go back and forth. It was sort of, you know, your standard rotation of guys that had their ring time or their big spots. I thought the AJ Styles hanging from the briefcase up there with no ladder beneath them, I thought that was an insane spot. I mean, how he didn't, like, separate his shoulder falling down just on his side like that. Oh, my God. But the winner, Baron Corbin, hey, my guy, the guy that I booked to win last week. I did it. Go back, listen to the audio. I booked Baron Corbin to win. I just think it makes sense. He's a guy that you don't need to worry about cashing right away because you've got other guys like AJ Styles, Shinsuke Nakamura, even Kevin Owens, that you could already make an argument that they already deserve to be in the main event picture. If you put the briefcase on Baron Corbin, you have no worries because you could just set him aside, cash that in when you need to. It was. I hope it doesn't end up this way, but it sort of reminds me of when Damian Sandow got it. the idea was Damian Sandow's not ready for the main event picture, but he's a guy that people like, and they think that he could have a future. Now, the Damian Sandow one went sideways, so let's not talk about Damian Sandow. So yeah, that was the pay-per-view. I don't really too much to say about Jinder Mahal, Randy Orton. It was a fine match. I'm not going to shit on that match like a lot of people are. I think Jinder Mahal works a very old school style that people are going to call boring in the ring. And, you know, maybe against somebody other than, you know, Randy Orton, maybe it leads to a better match. But yeah, you're not going to see a very high, fast-paced match from Jinder Mahal. For what it is, he works it well. You wonder, I mean, are we going Orton Mahal round three? Are we going to do that? I don't know. Maybe a Punjabi prison match, potentially. Hey, you know, why not? If we're just kind of killing time until it's John Cena versus Jinder Mahal, give me the damn Punjabi prison match then. Let's see it. Let's just get wild here. Let's go. So SmackDown, yeah, like I said, SmackDown, we had a good promo from Carmella, lots of heat there. Eventually later in the show, Daniel Bryan came out, said, you know, we're going to have another Men in the Bank match next week. Nice heated exchange between him and James Ellsworth, when James Ellsworth brought up his kid. And, yeah, a good talking smack segment too with James Ellsworth and Carmella on there. Also on SmackDown, Nakamura and Dolph Ziggler had a match that was probably better than their first match at Backlash. I don't know how. Maybe this is Nakamura progressing, but somehow that match, I just remember watching that and thinking, wow, this is way better than Backlash's match. I'm not going to dive too much into Raw because there'll be a lot more Raw talk when Mick returns next week. But the one notable thing, Braun Strowman's back. Yeah. As we speculated, the out for 6 months, that, you know, that was a work. By all intents and purposes, that was a work. He's back in time for Great Balls of Fire, and we will be having an ambulance match against Roman Reigns. I guess there was another notable thing. We finally found out Big Cass was the one that attacked Enzo. And look, it's time. It's time for Big Cass to step up as the heel. Big, dominant heel. It's time. Let's go. You know? Especially if they even want to play on Braun Strowman as a face. If they want to play him on as a face and just play to the fact that everybody loves Braun Strowman, get yourself a big 7 foot, 7 foot heel here. Let's go. We know Cass can do it. I don't know if you guys remember when he had his main event run for a little bit on Raw. Gosh, when was that? Was that Roman Reigns' suspension? I don't remember. I just remember there were like a couple back-to-back Raws where Big Cass was in the main event, and he was doing his own. He was hanging in there. There was a Fatal 4-Way, I think, too. Big Cass was in it. That might have been a pay-per-view. But he had a good run. I think Vince likes him. I think this is going to be good for him. I wonder if, actually, now that I'm saying this, I wonder if Angle trades him to SmackDown. Maybe reunites him with Carmella. That would be interesting. Big Cass on SmackDown. Get him away from Enzo. Let Enzo attempt to shine on his own. Or maybe they're just going to pair up Big Show with Enzo. I don't know. I don't want to see that. But maybe. And this right here, this is Big Show, and he's 7 foot tall, and you can't see, it writes itself, whether it's Big Show or Big Cass, so I wonder, you know, I wonder. Yeah, we'll talk more about the Raw brand next week, though. We're getting closer and closer to Samoa Joe versus Brock Lesnar. Gosh, Samoa Joe just keeps looking good. Got a win over Roman Reigns. Wasn't a clean one, but look, they're trying to really sell me on Samoa Joe's going to win, and, you know, I'm going to be really disappointed when he doesn't. But stepping outside of the world of WWE for a minute, I want to talk about Ring of Honor for a minute. I'm filming this on a Thursday. Tomorrow is Friday, the 23rd. And the first installment of what may very well be the summer of Cody Rhodes happens tomorrow. Ring of Honor Best in the World show. 2017. Nice, healthy card for those who like Ring of Honor. I mean, this is a good one. You know, you've got Young Bucks against War Machine. Titles on the line. Jay Lethal's in a match against Silas Young. Kushida against Marty Scurll. Oh, my gosh, for the World Television Championship. But the main event, Cody versus Christopher Daniels for the Ring of Honor World Championship. And why I say this is the first installment of the potential summer of Cody is because, look, you got this, and then shortly thereafter, we've got the G1, and Cody will be going for the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship against Okada. There's a plausible ending here that sees Cody Rhodes with two world championships. Is it going to happen? Maybe not. Are either of them going to happen? Who knows? I think Cody wins tomorrow. I hope he wins tomorrow. Cody, the new Ring of Honor World Champion. It adds a lot more intrigue to the Okada match. Because Cody suddenly has an instant jolt of credibility. The one critique on Cody getting the shot against Okada is that he hasn't really done too much. He hasn't really done too much in Japan in particular. You know, he got a win over Juice Robinson. He got a win over Mike Elgin. Cool. Look, hey, this run from Cody. This is going to be a good run. You know, show me what you can do. You wanted this, Cody. You stepped out of WWE for this. You wanted this. You're getting two title shots in a span of, 2 weeks? Let's see it. Let's see what you got, Cody. So that's going on tomorrow. We'll be sure to see what happens there. Follow it closely. Speaking of New Japan, we had last week the G1 Climax participants were announced. We now know who's in the G1 tournament. The same tournament that Kenny Omega won last year, became the first foreigner to win. So, you know, we got some good names, some intriguing names. You know, your usuals are in it. Tanahashi's in it. Naito's in it. Early favorite, at least coming from me. Minoru Suzuki's in it. Michael Elgin's in it. Kenny Omega is back in it. Some people think Kenny Omega might be winning the New Japan United States Championship. Some people think he might be winning it. But he's also in the G1. He could be winning the G1 too. Okada's in the tournament. So Okada's going to have a chance to win the G1 as the champion. But some new fresh faces, though. This is the first time Zack Sabre Jr. is going to be in it. Also, first time Juice Robinson is going to be in it. You know, talk about a guy who's come a long way since he was CJ Parker in NXT. A lot of people are high on Juice Robinson. But I think the big headline coming out of the announcement of the G1 Climax participants was Kota Ibushi is in the G1. Now, oh my goodness. The pop that he got during the announcements. Biggest pop of anybody. They saved him for last. It was the big reveal. You know, Ibushi, he's a freelancer right now. He's not, like, locked up anywhere. This is a guy that could have been signed to NXT as a full-time deal. He turned it down. Traveled the world. Didn't want to be obligated to NXT. Yeah, so we could potentially have, if not in a final, maybe in a semifinal, Kenny Omega versus Kota Ibushi. And, look, Kenny Omega has put on numerous Match of the Year contenders so far in 2017. He's got over 6 stars twice. He's got a couple others over 4.5. Kenny Omega and Kota Ibushi could easily tear the place down and have the match of the entire G1 Climax. could easily be a five-star match. They've got history. You know, they're both in the prime of their careers. Phenomenal athletes. And, you know, as much as I love Kenny Omega, I'm a Kenny Omega stan. Don't get me wrong. I want to see Ibushi in the final. I want to see Ibushi maybe against a Naito. Even if you're going to have Naito win it, God, could you imagine Ibushi winning it, though? God, that just, the intrigue just has me drooling. But so that's the storylines kind of coming out of the announcements. And look, we're going to be having those two G1 specials in Long Beach, July 1st, July 2nd. That's coming up. You know, we're going to be getting the answers to all these questions. We're going to see how it plays out, because it definitely, you know, it definitely is going to have a sign of things to come for New Japan. You know, who wins G1? What happens between Okada, Cody Rhodes? We're kind of going to see the lay of the land going forward. And it's intriguing as hell. It's far more intriguing than any of the, you know, seeds that WWE are currently planting for the rest of 2017. So, credit to New Japan for, as I've said before, committing to long-term stories. Because, you know, we're going to be watching Okada, Cody, and we're going to have Kenny Omega in the back of our mind. So, you know, we're just, everything's so short-term on the storylines in WWE. You know, it's month to month, pretty much. So, yeah, maybe the only exception in WWE, now that I think about it, might be Braun Roman. That's the only ongoing storyline. And it might end after Great Balls of Fire, depending on, you know, if they want Braun in the main event of SummerSlam or not. But anywho, so that's the G1 climax. A lot of stuff's coming up. Some back pages news, you know, before we wrap this up. Short podcast today because we don't have, you know, my good brother Mick Rouse here, but we do have virtual Mick. Hello, virtual Mick, are you around?
How's it going this week, bud?
Okay, cool. We still got virtual Mick with us. It's almost like Mick is here in spirit. He's here. We're not alone. A little back page news tidbit. Just announced today, Mauro Ranallo back in NXT. I shouldn't say back in NXT. He's back with WWE, but he's on NXT. He's going to be taking over commentating duties. I love it. I'm happy. I'm glad it's something's working out here. It seems that they've, you know, what it seemed like just tearing up of a contract. Now it seems like they're willing to work together, and Ranallo's going to find his place on NXT. And you, hey, Ranallo next to Nigel McGuinness, I'm all for it. Sign me up. Let's go. Ranallo also, I think, I remember reading this. I didn't double check it. But Mauro Ranallo also calling Mayweather McGregor. Note to self, let's talk Mayweather McGregor with Mick Rouse too. I want to see his takes on that. You know, we might be seeing some of that leak into WWE. The news came out. Triple H inviting Mayweather and McGregor to Raw. You know, hey, come on, self-promote. I think Conor McGregor in a WWE ring with a microphone is just gold. I can't wait to see if that happens. But yeah, Mayweather? No, Floyd Mayweather's, he's had WWE matches against the Big Show. So he's no stranger to, you know, the WWE. So I think as I wind down, I think going into next week, some of the major things to think about, you know, we're going to wonder what happened with Cody Rhodes. Is Cody Rhodes a champion? Has Cody Rhodes done something that might make him worthy of an Okada title shot or potentially being the next leader of Bullet Club? Go buy your shirts at Hot Topic, $25. Or, you know, does he lose to Christopher Daniels and have no momentum going into the Okada match? It's an interesting storyline. But other than that, going into next week, hey, Money in the Bank fallout. And there's still fallout, you know? Is it going to be Carmella still with the briefcase this time next week? Will it be Becky Lynch? Will it be somebody else? Maybe a Charlotte? I don't know. I'll be curious to see if this was a smash of the reset button, or if this was just a way for maybe WWE to cover their ass with how they ended that women's match. I don't know. Final thoughts, though, as we conclude this June 22nd episode. I've been thinking a lot about Daniel Bryan wrestling. He keeps talking about it, It's so strange because he's employed by the WWE. They won't let him wrestle, yet he goes and he talks about wanting to wrestle in 2018. It's going to happen. He's going to be in a wrestling ring in 2018. And it's not going to be in WWE. Don't be shocked, everybody. Daniel Bryan, Ring of Honor return? Daniel Bryan to New Japan? I don't know. It's going to be something to think about. Daniel Bryan's contract is going to be a talking point maybe like 6 months from now. We're going to be thinking about it. But until then, I think if so long as he's actually healthy, so long as even if the WWE doctor isn't clearing him, so long as there are a bunch of other doctors that are clearing him, good for Daniel. Go out, wrestle, follow your dream, do what you love to do. He still has that passion that CM Punk doesn't have anymore. He still has that passion to be out in the ring wrestling. And he's going to go chase it. And you know what? If I were to say final thought part B, congratulations. Welcome back, Daniel Bryan. Your father now. Welcome back. It's great to see you. Great to hear theme music. So with all that said, tonight was the NBA draft. If you want to read up on it, did Holyfield.co's mock draft get it right? Go over to Holyfield.co, check out all the NBA draft content going on over there. It's the best sports editorial site that you've never heard of, Holyfield.co. And, of course, if you like my voice, if you miss Mick Rouse by now and his sultry voice, hop over to iTunes and hit subscribe and listen to all the archived episodes. Also, Facebook.com/FullyFieldPod. FullyFieldPod is also our Instagram and Twitter handles. Shoot us a follow over there. Good night and goodbye.